Peace to you, brothers and sisters. And by God's grace, we continue to preach God's scriptures, and we also have the Lord's Supper together. Flowers will wither and grass will dry up, but God's holy word stays the same.
And
it is these God's words that we continue to proclaim and we continue to also live out by God's grace. At this combined worship, our first time starting this new year, we want to share you a message of Christians, a spiritual growth in the first chapter of 2 Peter.
We're
first reading Chinese and then English.
上帝的神能已将一切关乎生命和前进的事赐给我们，建议我们认识那用自己的荣耀和美德招我们的主，因此他已将又宝贵又极大的应许赐给我们，叫我们既脱离世上从情欲来的败坏，就得与上帝的性情有份。正因这缘故， 我们要分外的殷勤，有了信心，又要加上德行；有了德行，又要加上知识；有了知识，又要加上节制；有了节制，又要加上忍耐；有了忍耐，又要加上谦敬；有了谦敬，又要加上爱弟兄的心；有了爱弟兄的心， 又要加上爱众人的心，你们若充充足足的有这几样，就必使你们在认识我们的主耶稣基督上不至于闲然不结果子了。人若没有这几样，就是眼瞎，只看见近处的，忘了他旧日的罪已经得了洁净。所以弟兄们，应当更加殷勤， 使你们所蒙的恩召和拣选坚定不移。你们若行这几样，就永不失脚。这样必叫你们丰丰富富的得以进入我们主救主耶稣基督永远的国。Hear
God's words from 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 through 11. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in this passage, we see three main points. First, the foundation of our spiritual growth. Which is God's power and his promises that have been revealed in Jesus Christ. And the stages or steps of spiritual growth that we will experience. That's the second point. From our individual faith, but also to the fulfillment of virtues of love in our love for others. And we see the eight steps that is mentioned in this passage. Then what are the warnings in that the Bible tells us if we stop growing? The Bible says we may be negligent or forgetting God's grace to us, and we could be nearsighted and blind. And here we also review our main theme for the church this year, which is glorifying God, which is the goal of our spiritual growth. And secondly, we want to pursue holiness, which is the driving force within us for our spiritual growth. And thirdly, love one another. Our spiritual growth is not just feeling good inside you. Our spiritual growth should be manifested in our love for our brothers and sisters, and even for the unbelievers, even for the people who may be oppressing you. And finally, the focal point of our spiritual growth is the revival of our church. Which is reflected in the grace that's been richly provided us, so that we can enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it says, this is the eternal kingdom of our Lord. And this is the kingdom of grace into which we are saved. And Jesus Christ, he's our King and he's our Savior. And we are a nation of holy priests, and we call each other brothers and sisters in this kingdom. Let's pray for the spiritual work in our hearts. And Father, here we ask that your Holy Spirit continue to touch our hearts. For if we don't have your Spirit, we cannot understand the heavenly things. And the greatest power and the greatest promise that you've given us is the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, who can open our eyes, and who can and teach us and protect us until we see him again. So we pray for our spiritual growth, Lord, that the Lord of the God Jehovah and the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ to open our eyes. So teach us, give us wisdom, give us understanding, and give us humility, and give us gentleness. And give us the real fruits that we can bear. We pray and ask these things in our Lord Jesus Christ's holy name. We know that the Apostle Peter is a great a servant used by our Lord, by God. He was just a humble a fisherman from the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But God has called him through his grace and his glory. And the Lord give him name Peter. When he was circumcised in the Jewish tradition, his name was Simon. And the meaning of the word Simon was reed. And those reeds were you know swaying in the wind. And the Lord, when the Lord called him, he said that you will no longer be called Simon, like a reed that sways in the wind, but you will be a rock, or even a foundation for God's church. So in our spiritual growth, doesn't matter where our origins were and how what is our background. Maybe we are also the reeds that sway in the wind. But it is God's desire that we can also be like a rock, that also be firmly founded on the truth of our Lord. And we also that we know that in the course of Peter's spiritual growth, he paid some heavy prices. And when Jesus was ready for the cross, and Peter was trying to stop him. And then we know that Jesus rebuked him. He said, "Satan, back off." And Peter also he expressed his loyalty to Jesus when he said, "You know, even if all the others leave you, I will never leave you." But we know that Peter also disowned the Lord three times even before the rooster crowed. But when Jesus looked upon him gently, and he turned back and he cried. But God's grace was sufficient. God restored him. God reinstated him. And Peter called him. He said, "Peter, go shepherd my flock." And we saw that this was the start of Peter's growth in his faith. And he also was martyred for his faith to preach the gospel. And we know that the first and second letters from Peter were written not long before he was martyred, and it was in his the last years of his life.
So
And he also said that in, I think what's chapter? And in verse 14 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, he said, he said that since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, and as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. So what did he say in this, these last words? He said, you need to grow. You need to grow spiritually. And as a servant God, a servant of God, he said a minister has two main messages. And for the unbelievers, the message is that you should repent. You should actually believe in Jesus Christ to have eternal life. And there was only one message for those who have already believed. That's what it is, to grow spiritually and to bear spiritual fruits. And for those who are not believers yet, even those who are unbelievers among us, and that is the greatest pity and the greatest tragedy, that if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. But for those who have already baptized and now in the front of our Lord Himself, and if our spiritual lives do not have the visible growth year by year, there are two possibilities. And one possibility that you haven't really truly believed, that your faith is really you're deceiving yourself. And there's a second possibility that even though that you may have been saved and your sins have been forgiven, and even maybe you're doing great things in your spiritual, in your personal, in public lives. But if you haven't born any fruits with a grateful heart, and all those you're doing are really just the structures and projects that are in clay and in that a project of clay and a straw that will not stand the fire of testing. So in our spiritual growth, so we should often examine ourselves and ask ourselves if we have truly repented, we have truly put our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. We should reflect whether our faith is true faith. We reflect, we should ask ourselves whether we are truly bearing fruits that are in the virtues and all the goodness, meekness, gentleness, and all the in virtues and grace in our Lord, and whether those fruits are just not just visible to yourselves, but are visible to others as well. So first, we talk about our the foundation of this kind of true spiritual growth in this passage. So in verse 3, Peter starts by saying his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So here he mentioned the true divine power of God. And also we remember in the first chapter of Romans, Paul said, gospel is God's power to save all us unbelievers. So we know that gospel is really not just words, and it's not a slogan. It's not just a word of teaching. Gospel has revealed the love of God for us sinners. And gospel revealed to us that Jesus gave his life for us. And the gospel revealed to us that God's Spirit is working within us to renew and give us rebirth. So as Peter talked about God's power, he talked about his divine power. And how this power was revealed in us. So in English, we see that he said very clearly, through the knowledge of him. Through us knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can know God.
Our
and then we can know ourselves. So the true wisdom that God told us is to know him, know God, and know ourselves. But how do we know God and how do we know ourselves? And through knowing Christ, then we know God, and through knowing Christ that we know ourselves and know our own obligations as a believer. So Jesus Christ have revealed all the God's virtues and his dispositions through us. And as a not just as a perfect God, but also as a perfect man, he has revealed to us what a true man is. And so our spiritual growth does not just depend on the actions for us, like what the Buddhists do in through their meditations, through their prayers, their fasting. But through the power of God, that has given to us in Jesus Christ. And secondly, we see that Peter said here that God has given he granted to us his precious and very great promises. So what is this precious and very great promise? So that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature and to escape from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. And what the essential characterization of this world is this the sinful desire. The desire and to have and to hold on to power. And desire for more and more money.
And we through a
visitation we learned there was a woman who tried to gain the appreciation and recognition for others through dating with and sleeping with many men on through a website. So we see that even though we have the so-called freedom that in this country that we continue to fall into these sinful desires that hold on to our hearts. But as true believers, we can escape from these sinful desires and be partakers of the divine nature. So the Bible tells us that we have become a new person. In the past, maybe we are also clinging to these sinful desires. And we enjoy the joys of sin. And we also even boast in our power, in our wealth. But here, with the divine natures in us, that we can also seek holiness. That we can detest sin. And then we can also have the true hate of sin in our hearts. And that is the true foundation for our spiritual growth. And this foundation is the election of God and also the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But additionally, that foundation is also the true change of our own nature in our hearts. So we have that kind. When we have that spiritual foundation, and then Peter has encouraged that because of this, that we should be making every effort. So our salvation is not on just that your internal awakening and a big and to desire to kind of make a name for yourself. For sinners who are dying in sin, it is the work of the Holy Spirit who has renewed us so that we have this eternal life. So here the Bible tells us that we, even after this spiritual rebirth, after you being saved, we should be making effort. You should be really diligent to actually have the to live out all the obligations that God has granted to us. So here, Peter talked about eight steps. So here, when you're in a private party, maybe when you're toasting together, we also said, toasting each other, that I wish you to gain great heights. So here, spiritually, Peter also told us as a series of steps that we can also gain these heights in God. But we don't have time to elaborate all the eight steps today, but we can look them briefly. You not only have a true faith that lives inside you, and adding to this faith, you will be we need to have virtue. And the in the ancient Greek, the word virtue means excellence. And a Christian should also strive for excellence in glorifying God. And so this virtue, it includes your internal virtues, but also the outward actions of excellence that you can do to glorify God. So here in the Chinese version, we translate this word into virtue and action. So the first step is faith, and second step is virtue, and the third step is knowledge. So when we have faith, you want to express the faith in your actions. But we should also be gaining knowledge, and you should continue to study within among your actions. So here the knowledge is just it's not just a theory, it's not just head knowledge, but true knowledge that is actually based on your faith and based on your virtuous deeds. And here Peter said, with virtue you should add, with knowledge you should add self-control. And so that the Bible tells us that you actually need, with your knowledge, you also need self-control. So the pursuit of knowledge can be endless. So that even as you pursue knowledge, we need self-control. And with more knowledge you have, the true knowledge should also reveal to us that we are very ignorant. So with the virtue of self-control, we should also add steadfastness. So the steadfastness is not just a passive, patience and endurance. So here we talk about steadfastness as a spiritual virtue. And there are three conditions with it. First, you may be suffering because of righteousness. So if you're suffering because of your own sinful acts, then that's not true in a true steadfastness. And secondly, in your patience, you should have a willing heart.
Uh,
So if in your patience or in your endurance, if you're just you're just kind of biting your tongue, you should and just a forced kind of patience. Now that's not true steadfastness. And thirdly, in your endurance, in your steadfastness, you should have hope. And we know that Paul said that steadfastness will yield hope, and hope will not shame us. So this is an important step, an important sign of your spiritual virtue to have this kind of a steadfastness. And the next step is godliness. So what is godliness in a few words, if you want to explain it? It really means that you will not sin against God. Am I offending God with my words and with my actions? So the Bible says, serve the Lord with fear, and then also you should actually have joy in your trembling. Because when Bible revealed all kinds of evils, they share a common thing. It's that these evildoers, they do not fear God. So the God tell us to fear God, because everything we do that will actually be put under judgment by God. And then the seventh step is adding to all the others, you should have brotherly love, brotherly affection. So sometimes our words may not be pleasing to others. But the Bible tells us that your rebuke in the face of a friend is actually better than loving him in secret. In Chinese we say that all the good medicines are bitter, but they're good for you. And with brotherly affection, we also have the love for all others. I have many friends who some of them are high officials, and some of them wanted to murder those high officials. So are those corrupted officials are worse than us, or deserve death? So even I asked some of my friends of this, said, can you actually pray for those in power, those who are having high positions? They said, if I need to pray for them, the only prayer I can have is to that God send a worm to actually kill them. So here the Bible tells us our brotherly affection also needs to be manifested in our love for others. And we also need to have we especially need to have a heart of mercy for those who are not believers. Because we were once like them. So some of my classmates, they knew me well, and they said, if you haven't become a Christian, you would be a very evil guy. And then you would be a lawless person. So Paul said, are we better than them? Absolutely not.
所以弟兄姊妹，我们就看到灵命成长的台阶啊，从信心开始，最后落实在爱心上。
And then so we see that these steps started with our faith and ended in our love.
不仅爱我们的弟兄,
not just love for our brother for brothers and sisters.
甚至耶稣说要爱你的仇敌，要为那逼迫你的什么祷告。
And then, but Jesus said, you should be loving your enemies and pray for those who oppress you.
所以弟兄姊妹，第三点，使徒彼得就提出了警戒。
So thirdly, Peter also identified some exhortations for us.
所以彼得就特别讲，如果你们没有这样，不是一步一步的成长，那么就是眼瞎的，只看见近处的，只想着自己的眼前的问题得到解决，但是忘记了上帝的恩典。
So here in verse 9, Peter said, if you don't have these qualities, you are so nearsighted that you're blind, that you have forgotten that you have been cleansed from our former sins.
弟兄姊妹，灵命的眼瞎是上帝给罪人在这个世界上最大的咒诅。
So the spiritual blindness is the biggest curse that God has on unbelievers.
视而不见。 听而不闻，眼睁睁的看着上帝，眼睁睁的主天述说神的荣耀，从掌传扬他的手段，我们就视而不见。
And then even the Bible tells us, even the heavens declare God's glory, that the universe praise his handiworks, that our eyes cannot see them.
眼睁睁的生活中，上帝赐给我们那么多好处，那么多恩典，都是我们不配得的，但是就盯着你没有得到。
And in our everyday lives, even God has given us so many graces, so many blessings, our eyes cannot see them.
所以圣经讲到，这个世界上的人被魔鬼弄瞎了心眼。
So the Bible tells us, so in this world, the Satan actually had blinded us. He has blinded our mind's eyes.
所以弟兄姊妹，在信仰的问题上，耶稣基督在登山宝训第七章最后警戒的是不要自欺什么虚。So
Jesus, in the later part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us that we should not deceive ourselves.
说好树结好果子，坏树结坏果子，好树不能结坏果子，坏树不能结好果子，凡不结好果子的就砍下来丢在火里。
And then Jesus said, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So this is a very sober and serious warning. Because our faith concerns with life and death, our meaning of life. So when our spiritual growth need to be shown in our fruits.
你说你信主了,
when you say you're a believer,
你的妻子或者你的先生能不能说，哎呀，我先生我太太信主以后，真的是换了一个新人。
It would when you're if you're a believer, would your husband or your wife or your children say, he or she has now become a new person.
你的父母说，哎呀，我这个女儿，我这个儿子，我这个女婿，我这个妻子，哎呀，我这个儿媳，哎呀，真的是怎么能够这么大的改变啊？
And your parents would be or should be saying that, oh, my son or daughter or son-in-law or daughter-in-law, how come they had made such big changes in their lives?
所以弟兄姊妹，果子是看得见、摸得着，并且让别人吃了以后很舒服的。So
a fruit needs to be seen, and fruit needs to be tasted.
所以你基督徒，你自己灵命的成长，有没有使你的家人、使你的朋友，甚至使你的敌人觉得哇，我佩服，我佩服。So
the fruits from our spiritual growth will those show to to the people around us, to even to our enemies, that they actually can admire us. So that they can say through you I have seen the invisible God, and then I want to believe in this God.
所以这种灵命的成长其实是我们传福音见证主的最有效的方式。
your spiritual growth is the greatest way to evangelize, to show other people the gospel. So in 2024, I wish that all of us can continue to meditate upon this passage, that we can have true spiritual growth. That one word, one action can all glorify God. If I've done some right things, we should say, this is the grace of God. And for those things we haven't done right, the wrongful thoughts and deeds and actions, that we can willingly come to God and say, God, I am wrong. I wanted to repent. So Paul said, everything you do, even as you eat or drink, you should do it for the glorification of God. So here, the Bible says, help us to pursue holiness. So there's a book by John Calvin. He wrote it through five iterations, five editions, until it became a book of over 1,000 pages. That's the typically we call it the name is the Institute of the Christian Religion. So here in the modern language, when we see the word religion, we also think of the meanings of just human religions. But here in what John Calvin meant was essentially it's almost encyclopedia of godliness in this book. So all the book is all about how Christians can live a godly life. So no matter how much we know about the Bible, how deep our theological knowledge is, if we can't reflect them in our lives, that's not true knowledge. And the true godly person, a true a wise person, is to live out this knowledge in our actions, in our lives. So and thirdly, our spiritual and godly spiritual growth and godly lives needs to be reflected in our love for one another. So the Bible says, when you love one another, the world will know that you are my disciples. And then in the old age, the apostle John said, people are wondering if he's going to teach a lot of a really deep doctrine. But the Apostle John said in very simple, very straightforward words, that love one another. And then love will help to understand one another through goodwill. And love can cover many sins. And And there's no other reason that God has saved us other than that he loved us. So that our pursuit of godliness, our glorification of God should also be realized in our love for one another. And this love should not only be reflected in our love in our personal lives, but also that altogether corporately as a church. So no matter for believers and unbelievers, there are two things in the church that greatly pain us. And first is the unbelievers, they depart from church.
And
they
leave church. And
that they don't like this church, they don't like that church, and then they think only they themselves are the most spiritual. And secondly, when we see a lot of the conflicts and the gaps in our church, and the question is really, do we want to be someone who stay and fix these things?
弟兄姊妹，说来话长，但是无论如何，请大家思考今天的分享。我们灵命长进的根基到底何在？So
here we should truly reflect upon this passage that where it is our true spiritual growth.
我们的灵命有没有经过这个台阶，步步高升？And
then our spiritual lives, whether they are advancing through these steps that we have seen.
我们信主这么多年，服侍主这么多年，是否还有可能是眼瞎的，还有可能是忘恩的？And
then even believers for many years, are we still spiritual blind? Have we forgotten the spiritual grace in God? So we want to conclude our message today with one verse. It's in
2
Peter chapter
3,
verse 18. So Peter talked about all the people who have been rebelling against God.
但是灵命长进的核心是你们是要在我们主救主耶稣基督的恩典和知识上有长进，愿荣耀归给他，从今时直到永远。But
he encouraged believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity.
所以首先不管别人的状况如何，让我们每个人都好好的来到主的面前。So
we don't need to think about how others are like, but we ourselves should come before the Lord with a true heart. If we grow ourselves, then we will actually add to the enlightenment and then the truth. Let's pray.
天父上帝，求你将荣耀的主耶稣基督在我们心中显现。And
Heavenly Father, we ask that you reveal to us the glorious Jesus Christ.
当那明亮的诚心公义的日头在我们心中显现的时候。And
then when this morning star, when the Son of Righteousness are revealed in our hearts,
就能够医治我们心灵的创伤。
He can heal our wounds, and he can expel the spiritual darkness, and he will shed light in our hearts. Continue to protect us that we can return our spiritual lives, can return to Jesus. And to live out his grace and knowledge.
Amen.
Amen.